Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll want to get your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12. And in a few moments, we're going to begin reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 32. And we've got a lengthy reading. We'll go on to 13:17, provided we have time. We're going to look at a little introduction, and then we're going to go into this text. Now, as you're getting your Bible, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 10, Sunday evening worship at 6, and then Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 o'clock. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And for our teacher, I'm drawing from a preacher from the past by the name of E.A. Elam, who wrote Sunday School Lessons. And we're just beginning the first lesson of the first quarter of the year 1923. And in those old days, the quarters began with the beginning of the year. So this would be the winter quarter. And it's about Jesus, the world's Savior, studies in Luke. And we've got a little bit of the introduction here to help tell us who Luke was that wrote the book of Luke. Now Luke, and I'm reading from the Sunday school lesson now, Luke was born, it is supposed, in Antioch of Syria. But now, we're not sure that that's where he was born, but we do know this. He was educated for a physician. And you find that in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, where Paul calls him the beloved physician. It is thought that he was a Gentile. And from his use of the preposition we and Acts of the Apostles, it is learned where he joined Paul. I want to read a little of that to you, beginning in Acts chapter 16, and I'll begin in verse 6, and I want you to notice these pronouns. Look at the third person pronoun, where it says, "And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden of the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia." Verse 7, "And when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia. And the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the midnight. There was a man of Macedonia standing beseeching him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And when he had seen the vision, straightway we sought to go forth into Macedonia, concluding that God hath called us to preach the gospel unto them." Did you notice the shift in the pronouns? Going from writing about they and them to we and us. It is by checking these pronouns when we read through the book of Acts that we can keep up with Luke and where he was. And this, at Troas, is where Luke joins Paul on his second missionary journey. And he goes over with Paul into Philippi. But when Paul leaves Philippi, Luke goes back to using the they and them pronouns instead of the we and us, indicating that Philip remained behind for that new church at Philippi. And then as Paul collected the money for the saints and he was on his way back to Jerusalem, he passed back through Philippi again, and there the pronoun shift from they and them to we and us. And so Luke rejoins Paul, and he travels with Paul all the way back to Jerusalem. He is with Paul when Paul is on trial and when he is imprisoned. And when Paul is put on that ship, that makes its way into Rome through that stormy sea, and then when they're shipwrecked on that island. And if you haven't read that story, you need to go back and read in Acts chapter 27 about that hazardous voyage of Paul on the ancient Mediterranean. And all that time, we're reading about we and us, indicating that Luke was with Paul. And when Paul is writing his epistles of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and the little book of Philemon, we can tell that Luke is with him, and he mentions Luke. And it seems that Paul was released from that first imprisonment and was later imprisoned again. And one of the last things we read from Paul is in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9 through 11, where Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Give diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas forsook me, having loved this present world, and went to Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me." Luke remains with Paul to the very bitter end. And tradition tells us that Paul was executed after that second imprisonment, and that may be so, although there may not be. We have this mysterious book of Hebrews. Not that the book itself is mysterious, but the author to Hebrews is not given. And among those suggested as who may have written Hebrews is both Paul and Luke. And it could very well be that they wrote that together. And so that's who Luke was. And when we add all of Luke's writings up in the New Testament, Luke and Acts, they're such big books that we see that as far as volume of writing, Luke wrote more of the New Testament than any other single person. And that is even if Hebrews was written by Paul. And if Luke had something to do with Hebrews, then certainly a massive amount of the New Testament that we have today comes from the pen of Luke. Now, Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And you can read that in Acts 1:1, where he's writing to the most noble Theophilus, and he begins the book of Acts much the way he began the book of Luke. It is thought he wrote this gospel under Paul's influence at Caesarea, and then later Acts of the Apostles under the same influence at Rome. But we cannot be dogmatic and exactly positive about that, but those are reasonable explanations of how we got these books. Luke was not himself an apostle, and not therefore an eyewitness of what he wrote concerning Jesus, but he learned it from others. He was a scholar and traced the course of all things accurately from the first, seeking information and facts until he knew the certainty of the things whereof he wrote. Let me read to you how the book of Luke begins. It is a very beautiful, classical beginning to his account of who Jesus was. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou hast been instructed." You know, we've got accounts of Jesus. We've got Matthew, who was one of his apostles. We've got Mark, who knew the apostles and many of those friends of Jesus and could very likely have been an eyewitness of many of the things he said. And so you read Matthew and Mark, and you hear all these stories about Jesus, and you might wonder, wouldn't it have been nice if someone would have gone and checked all this out? Well, they did, and that is Luke. And he confirms the things that were written by Matthew and Mark. And so as the old adage goes that comes from a law way back at the time of Moses in the Old Testament, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. And so we've got Matthew, and we've got Mark, and we've got Luke. And once you read those accounts and read what they say about Jesus, you will have to determine not to believe in order to remain an unbeliever. These things are written that we might believe. And instead of thinking, is Jesus the Christ? You read those accounts and you'll be asking yourself, how could Jesus not be the Christ? Because the evidence is so abundant. And then, believing Jesus is the Christ, you can believe what Jesus said in the book of John about how he said he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, to guide his apostles into all truth. And then you realize why. These are not just the testimonies of men, but these are the testimonies of men that wrote the things they wrote with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. And so we can be certain that those things are so. It is such a joy to study writings like the book of Luke. And in the remaining time, I want to read from Luke, beginning in Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And our time will be out before I read as far as I want to read into Luke chapter 13. But where we'll stop, we'll pick up again in our next class. So now, if you have your Bible, I'll be reading from the American Standard Version, Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 32. Where Jesus says, "Fear not, little flock. It is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that which ye have and give alms. Make for yourself purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroyeth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lamps burning. And be ye yourselves like unto men, looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and shall come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if it be in the third, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have left his house to be broken through. Be ye also ready, for in an hour when you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Luke 12 and verse 41. And Peter said, "Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all?" And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord shall set over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Of a truth I tell you, that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that servant shall say in his heart, 'My Lord delayeth his coming,' and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maid servants, and to eat and drink and be drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expecteth not, and in an hour when he knoweth not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the unfaithful. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much, of him they shall ask more. I'm going to end that reading there, and we'll begin at the next class. Do come and visit us, if you can, at the Rock Cliff Church of Christ, and see how we study the Bible and worship God after the New Testament pattern.